I got him, didn't I, Zach?
Yeah, I'm on my phone a lot.
I got him, didn't I, Zach? Going to bark and lie. Joel says it like this: the word of the Lord that came to Joel, the son of Pethuel. Hear this, ye old men, and give ear. Now, let's see. That would be Eric and Michael and Steve and the rest of you. Turn your hearing aids off. Hear this, ye old men, and give ear, all ye inhabitants of the land. Well, there you go. Hath this been in your days, or even in the days of your fathers? Tell ye your children of it. And let your children tell their children and their children another generation. This is where we want to try to pick up right here. Listen to what he said. That which the palmer worm hath left, hath the locust eaten. And that which the locust hath left, hath the canker worm eaten. And that which the canker worm hath left, hath the caterpillar eaten. Here are some things that are destroying the tree. We was out there in South Dakota killing them pheasants, and sometimes, y'all, it would be hard to pheasant hunt because the turkeys are so many. I mean, I've never seen anything like it in all my life. It's almost like turkey farms. We were out there one time, Michael, one of the first trips we ever went out there to South Dakota, we were driving this field, and I was on the outside. And I was on the outside of the line where when I say drive, there's a bunch of men that line up and we walk through these fields and woods and what have you. And that's driving through there. And then there's always some blockers down on the other end, a few guys, because those pheasants will run. And they'll run out of this field, plumb out of the country. So you have to have a few people standing up there with guns that are called blockers. That way when they run, at least all the birds have to get up and we shoot each other. We shoot at them people and they shoot at us. And I mean, it's literally about that way, but we're shooting in the air. Supposed to. Some of them don't know how to do that. They shoot at you. I've been sprayed more than one time. But anyway, we were walking down through that field and I was on the outside of the line. And I just noticed some turkeys at the end of this field started coming out. Turkeys. And then more turkeys. And then more turkeys. And more turkeys. And I'm standing there just absolutely, I've never seen so many turkeys in all of my life. And it was so, I mean, there was probably 400 turkeys that came out of this field. And they started going up, what is it? Y'all got comedy hour going? Yes.
I've been accused of shooting at people.
Oh, Lord. That was ridiculous. Shot 400 feet over the man's head and he...
I stole his bird.
That's what it was. You shot the bird, he was on the shoot. But needless to say, they come out of that field, they going up a hill, and they went up that hill. And I'm standing there in awe, literally standing there just with my mouth open watching them. And by this time, y'all, pheasants is getting up everywhere. I mean, pheasants is starting to fly up out of this field. I couldn't care less about the pheasants at this point. I was amazed at all the turkeys that went up that hill and they was crossing a ridge up there and I was just standing there. And I ended up saying something to somebody that's from out there and they went, oh yeah, turkey, that's nothing. Said, killing turkeys, all you got to do out here to kill a turkey, stand behind a tree with a stick and just whack you one over the head when they come by. And they were telling me the truth. That's what they did. And the next morning, we ate this turkey, ladies and gentlemen. I brought that turkey to church. A boy hid behind a tree, a little Indian guy out there. That was out there with us, taking us from place to place. You can hunt here, you can hunt there, a little Indian guy. He went out there and hid behind a tree with a stick and hit a turkey over the head and brought it to me dressed the next day. And I brought it all the way back to North Carolina and cooked it for the church over at the community center. Y'all remember that? Steve, we're out there with, what's that old boy's name? That we hunt on his land all the time. And he tells us, man, kill them turkeys. Because them turkeys come up there and they go through them cornfields. They get in his corn crib. He'll have a corn crib out there big enough to fill his church up nearly. And the turkeys right there. And he has to keep the turkeys up because they eat all of his corn. So we went out there, and we're from the ghetto, okay? So you had to see us bunch of idiots out there. We rent Suburbans or whatever four-wheel drive we can get to haul everybody and these dogs, you know, an hour away from the airport and from little hunting spot to hunting spot. We load up in one of these Suburbans. There's a couple people in each one. There's a couple seats, so there's a person in this seat and a person in this seat. We both got shotguns. Then there's another Suburban, and there's a guy in his seat. And we did this once or twice. And then there's a guy that... So there's four gunmen, two trucks, two Suburbans. And we start riding through some of these certain areas, and the turkeys are so thick that we have drive-by shootings. I mean, literally, I'm not kidding you. When we drive and we see a turkey, we just throw the gun out the window and start shooting turkeys. Boom, boom, boom. We killed some like that. And I called it drive-bys. We had some drive-bys out there, and we actually ended up killing some. And we took them, and we dressed them things and took and cleaned their craws out. And I'm telling you, was you there that time? I've never seen so many grasshoppers in all my life. Never. We took those turkeys and cleaned their craws out, what they had been eating, stuff that was in a sack inside their chest. And we pulled that thing and we started dumping what was in their craw out on the floor of this barn. And there was a pile bigger than a basketball of grasshoppers that came out of three turkeys. That's all we got to drive by. We were amazed. We were absolutely amazed at all these grasshoppers. And it's wintertime, so these turkeys are scratching around out there, and they're digging down. Them grasshoppers are in the ground, so those turkeys are digging them out of the ground, and they're eating them. We called the farmer and said, man, you've got to come over and see this. And so he come over there, and he just, don't kill another turkey, he said. Huh? No. The turkeys are far less harmful than those grasshoppers. Those turkeys, we can shoot them out of our corn crib, and man, they're a headache, and we have to constantly stay on them. But I tell you, you can go to bed tonight and have a beautiful cornfield out there, and those grasshoppers can come through, and they will wipe your entire field out before sunrise the next morning. Gone. They will destroy your crops. The turkeys, he said, are doing us favors. He said, I had no clue that they were cleaning up the grasshoppers like that. Leave the turkeys alone. Just a cycle of life. God knows what he's doing. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I told that whole story to tell you, if one thing don't get you, another one will. If the cankerworm don't get you, then this one will. If that one don't get you, if this thing don't get you, if this lust of other things don't get you, if this thorn don't get you, then another thorn will. We see things in the book of Joel, chapter 1, verse 4, that's destroying our lives. You remember what the Lord said over there at the church of Sardis? I'm going to read it again. That which the palmer worm hath left, hath the locust eaten. And that which the locust hath left, hath the cankerworm hath eaten. And that which the cankerworm hath left, hath the caterpillar eaten. Now listen to this. What did Jesus tell that church? These things are dying. They're eating them. They're killing them. What did Jesus tell the church at Sardis? I'm going to read it to you. Unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, God said, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. He said, you say you're alive. I say you're dead. Now watch this. Be watchful and strengthen. Listen. The things which remain that are ready to die. God said there's some things about you that the thorns is about to kill. There's areas in your life that it's already devoured you. It's already destroyed. There's certain areas in your life that it's consumed and it's took over. But here he said to this church in Sardis, he said, listen, there's other areas that's coming under attack. There's other things that's coming against you. And there's things that's suffering in your life. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to pay attention to those things and strengthen those things which are about to die. Almost gone. Boy, wouldn't it be good if the American church today would take that verse and apply that thought to our homes. Wouldn't it be something? How many homes in America, Eric, how many homes do you think people sitting in church today on Sunday, this beautiful Sunday God's blessed us here with in America, how many homes are represented all across the United States of America that is suffering loss today? Where we are to strengthen those things that are about to die in our own homes. Be good. He said, strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Here in Joel chapter 1, God shows us some more things that choke the very life out of us. Now watch this. Do you remember when going to church was exciting? That's a sad question. Do you remember when reading your Bible was exciting? Do you remember when doing anything for God was exciting? You know what we ought to be able to say? It wasn't just was exciting, preacher. It is exciting. See, here's what he's trying to say. There was a time in a lot of these people's lives where going to church wasn't a routine. Going to church wasn't just something that we had to do. Going to church wasn't just a ritual. Going to church wasn't just something to get God off our back. Going to church wasn't just something to clear our conscience. Going to church was a joy. Going to church was a pleasure. Going to church was like this. Hey, y'all can come visit me on Sunday and Wednesday if you want to. But we're going to the house of God. Y'all more than welcome to go with us. Hey, man, or you can stay here until we come back. But you know what? I wouldn't miss the house of God for nothing in the world. I'm not going to miss church for work. I'm not going to miss church for family. I'm not going to miss church for the world. I'm not going to miss church for my hobbies. I'm not going to miss church for my habits. Man, going to church is a joy. Jesus said, you know what? There used to be a time you wouldn't miss church for nothing. But now the least little nothing can keep us out of the house of God.
Yeah. Amen.
Going to church was exciting. Boy, let me choke a mule right here. You remember? Now listen, this is literal. Do you remember when the preacher said, "Will the ushers come?" And there was a joy in your soul because you was fixing to take up an offering, huh? Boy, I tell you what, sometimes you get that paycheck and you just get excited about being able to pay your tithes and offerings. Huh? Listen to me. When you get right with God, when you where you ought to be with Jesus, I'm just trying to tell you, there's some things that's dying about us. It's not even a joy to give anymore. Man, we give grudgingly. We give pinching that penny. And what Brother Clayton say, we pinch that nickel so bad the Indian jumps off the front and rides that buffalo on the back. That's pretty tight, ain't it? Well, you know what? When you're right with God, when those things are alive like they ought to be, when those thorns ain't ruling in your heart and life, and the preacher says, hey, would the usher come, it ought to be some kind of joy to you, man, in order to say, thank God, I finally get to give back to the Lord. I've been waiting ever since Friday. Man, I got that paycheck whenever it was you got paid. I've been chomping at the bits to be able to give back to the Lord. You say, preacher, I'm talking about thorns. Thorns cause you to give grudgingly. Thorns cause you not to be a cheerful giver. God loveth a cheerful giver. Don't you want to be loved of God? Love's a cheerful giver. Remember when that song leader would open up and man, you'd get excited about being able to sing the songs of God? Be excited about it. You remember when riding down the road with Jesus and him sitting in the truck with you? You remember that? Some of you looking at me like I'm a retard, man. That stuff happens. The reason I say this stuff here is because it happens. There's times you can ride down the road in your vehicle, ladies and gentlemen, and have a meeting with God. I'm telling you, God will show up in that car. Man, I'd rather be there than Vegas. Right? I'd rather be there than win all the lotteries in the world. Riding down the road and Jesus step in. I like it. Some of the best services I've ever been in my life was in my prayer closet. Can you say that? I mean, tell you the God's honest truth, church. And I'll let you look at me in my God-given eyeballs. I don't mind looking at you. The best services I've ever had in my life is when I was alone with God. Oh, we've had some good ones, Eric, in the church. We've had some good ones in the public. But I tell you, the best things I've ever had in this life was the times I spent alone with the Lord Jesus Christ. There have been times, Steve, we're just riding down the road, man, in that cool truck or some old car. Wasn't bowed off somewhere in a prayer closet. It wasn't some great big super spiritual sight to see. But I tell you, man, just riding down the road and having fellowship with him and him supping with me. Some of the best stuff I've ever been involved in my entire life. Where's that kind of stuff at? When's the last time you rode down the road with Jesus? Come on. You say, preacher, that don't happen. That's because you don't know nothing about it. It does happen. You can ride down the road with the Son of God. You can ride down the road with the very divine presence of a holy God. In that vehicle, we in the presence of God, the glory of God, Jesus himself will come and sit in that vehicle with you. And I mean, man, he'll put his arms around you and he'll sup with you and you can sup with him. There ain't nothing in the world like it, friend, nothing in this world. I cried down the road with Jesus. It was the last time you rode down the road with Jesus. Man, I've rode down the road before and had him put his arms around me. Hey, man, the God, I've sat down before. There's been times where I've had to pull over because of the tears and it just gets so foggy in the car. While the blessings of God was flowing. Been times where I've had to pull over and look like a maniac on the side of the road. Just weeping and rejoicing. Been times where I had to get out and just run around the car enjoying his presence. Enjoying his presence. God gets so big, you can't sit in the car. I mean, man, you just got to run or you're going to die. You got to throw your hands up. I mean, the tears begin to flow. The snots are flying. People's looking at you like you're crazy and you couldn't care less because God is there, friend, and they don't have a clue. Best thing I've ever been involved in my life was Jesus. Amen. A closer walk with him. Boy, it's good to get the thorns out of your life when Jesus can just jump in the car with you. It's good to have the thorns out of your life where you can sit in that living room and I mean God will come a walking in. I'm telling you, friend, God wants to have fellowship with his children. Jesus wants to have fellowship with his wife. I'm telling you, you can sit down there in the living room of your house and turn this whole world off. The lust thereof, the cares thereof, the deceitfulness of riches, you can get rid of all these thorns. And God's Son will come walking in on you. Better strengthen the things that remain. God don't have to come in there. God told us we better strengthen these things before they die. Why are they dying? Why are these things dying? Why ain't we having this kind of relationship, this fellowship? Because the thorns is choking the very life out of us. I'm mean, I'm hateful, I'm stupid, whatever it is you want to label me and call me. My God, man, that preacher's so negative, whatever you want to call me, but I'm telling you, church, whatever I got to do to try to get the message across that there's some canker worms that's eating away and it's destroying the very life from us, and we've got generations following up behind us. Dear God, what are we going to leave behind for that generation? What's that little boy going to have for a church? Huh? What's them children going to have for a church when they're your age? There was a time and not too long ago where most of us was these youngins, these children's age. I'm glad, thank God, there's been something left for us to revive before the thorns choke the life out of it completely. You know what? I've always thought that God's had a remnant, and I think he still does and always will. And I'm glad, thank God, that we can leave a remnant behind when we're dead and gone for good. Right. I'm glad our children can come up here on this side of the road, man, and lift up holy hands without doubt. And you hear me? I mean, we can raise up another generation. He said, go tell your children and your children's children and the generations to come. I'm telling you, church, we need to strengthen the things that remain so that the next generations will have something, thank God, to glory in. Jesus. We see in Joel 1:4, the palmer worms left some things. Left some things. Didn't eat it all. Doesn't matter. Palmer worms done his job and gone. Guess what? Here comes another creature. Whatever's left behind, the locust has come to eat now. And what the locust has left behind? The canker worm. And what the canker worm left behind? The caterpillar. I'm just telling you, it's a constant battle. It's something all the time. There's thorns from every stage of life that's coming at us. It's the best life you can ever live. Amen. Man, it's a constant battle. It's a constant fight. The enemy's always on us. Thank God he is. Butting heads with him every day of your life. It's still the best life ever lived. Look at the... Let me say this. I couldn't care less about coming to church having a good service. I want you to understand me. I couldn't care less about coming in here and me knocking a home run. Miss Debney, if we loaded the bases full and I got up and hit a stinking grand slam and everybody got to round them bases and everybody made it home safe, and I mean, man, that was the best message. I couldn't. That makes me sick to even think about that. Oh boy, hit a home run today. Well, that's good. Thank God. It makes me sick. He talked about it in Sunday school. You know, it'd be much better than me hitting a home run, preaching the best message I ever preached. That's having the best service we ever had. You have a personal revival in Jesus Christ. Huh? Well, wouldn't that be something? If we forgot talking about the preacher and his home runs, his batting average, wouldn't it be something we got to talk about glorifying God, magnifying Him? Boy, I'll tell you what, we went down to church today. Oh, boy, I'll tell you, the thorns must have been cleaned out because God come in that place and God this and God that and God and God and God. It ain't about me. It ain't about man. It's about God. It's about God. When Mary got a hold of Him, boy, I'm telling you, it was all about Him, friend. It was all about Him. Martha said, Lord, would you please tell her to help me? He said, Martha, you're covered about many things. He said, but I'm going to tell you something, girl. Mary's chosen that needful thing. You know what Martha was doing? She was doing a good thing. She was in that kitchen. She was cooking. She was cleaning. That's a good thing. That almost sounds like a wife, don't it? It did at one time in America. A good thing. Don't ever forget this. Listen to me real good. If you don't get nothing else to say, the Spirit of God just whisper to me. Good things become the enemy of excellent things. If it's time for you to pray, reading your Bible is wrong. It's time to pray. Good things become the enemy of excellence. If it's time to read your Bible, get out of your prayer closet. Get in that Bible. If it's time to go to church, it doesn't matter. Let the whole flipping world turn upside down. I'm telling you, whatever gets in the way of God's will becomes the enemy. Good things become the enemy of the excellence. It's never wrong. We'll make this straight with you. It's never wrong to read your Bible. But I'll tell you, every once in a while, God wants to get you in that prayer closet. That's right. Strengthen them things that remain. Strengthen things that remain. Man, I got a reading life. I study my Bible. Really? You better strengthen those things that remain. How about that prayer life? How's it doing? Struggling, cobwebs, dust piling up in the closet. Look at verse 7. Trying to hurry. Trying to be sweet.
Look at what he said. I tell you what, let's read it. Awake, ye drunkards, and weep. Boy, ain't this a message? Awake, ye drunkards, and weep, and howl, all ye drinkers of wine, because of the new wine, for it is cut off from your mouth. For a nation has come up upon my land strong and without number, whose teeth are the teeth of a lion, and he hath the cheek teeth of a great lion. Now watch this. He hath laid my vine waste. Talking about believers. The devil's about to kill us. I mean, he's done sunk his teeth in us. Watch what he said. And barked my fig tree. Barked it.
I don't know if you understand. If you take and cut the bark off of a tree, you know what's going to happen? More than likely, it's going to die. And there's been a few trees that survived. But you know what happens even when they survive? They're scarred for life. If you take that tree at the end of its life and cut it down and split it open, you're going to find disease and scars inside that tree. People pay big money for it. They call it bird's eye maple. They call it burl. It's all it is a fungus, a disease, something that got into that wood. It's what's happening a lot of times in our life. Man, I'm telling you, if it ain't killed us, then it's got us to the point to where it's going to scar us for the rest of our life and cause problems. All right.
Verse 8 says, lament like a virgin, girded with sackcloth for her husband of her youth. Do you understand there's spiritual divisions enough in our marriages to kill us spiritually? Husband's going one way, wife's going another. He's thinking this, she's thinking that. There's enough division in our homes today to kill us spiritually. And it's killing us.
I wish we could get a hold of how can two walk together except they be agreed. We need to agree, husbands and wives. What we need to agree with is maybe not each other, but agree with the Word of God. How about that? Verse 9. The meat offering. Here we go. The meat offering. Steve said something about this praying a while ago. The meat offering and the drink offering is cut off from the house of the Lord. The priest, the Lord's ministers mourn. You understand these are sacrificial offerings? You had to sacrifice things to offer this. What is that? These are offerings of worship. Worship will cost you something. It is a sacrificial thing. You know what most of us don't have time for? Worship. We don't have time for that. I mean, man, we've got everything so sped up today. God's got to hurry up, bless us. Man, let's get in, let's get out. I mean, it's no quiet time. We got our set time. Well, from 7 to 8, we'll sit and do this. From 4 to 5, we can do that. Sacrificial offerings, they've been choked out. They've choked out our worship. I'm going to ask you a question. When's the last time you were overtaken by Him? When is the last time that you have been overtaken by Jesus Christ? Overtaken. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about worship. When's the last time you worshiped Him? The thorns has taken away our commitment. You know why you can't hardly get people to live for God anymore? It's not convenient. Not convenient. You know when is the last time God wanted to pour His blessings out on you?
I'm asking everybody in this congregation, do you understand when the last time God wanted to bless you? He wanted to bless you this morning. God wants to bless his youngins. I wonder if any of his youngins cared enough to get up and say, I want God to bless me today. God, I'm not going to get out of here until you bless me today. And we wonder, while we're dying, we don't even have time to work. It's not convenient to wait on God anymore. It's not convenient to be blessed by God. See the deceitfulness of riches. We've got everything over in Revelation chapter 3. It's what he's talking about, the Laodicean church, the deceitfulness of riches. Man, we have need of nothing. I don't need God to bless me. I can buy my own stinking car. I don't need God to bless me. I got my Obamacare, friend. I don't need God for that. I got some of the nicest clothes money can buy. I don't need God to help me get no clothes. Man, I got my house payment, got my job, everything's under control. I don't really need God for the deceitfulness of riches. It'd be better off to live in a cardboard box with the presence of God than to not get up this morning and seek after Him with a whole heart and say, God, it's you or nothing I want you today. Going to church, that's enough. Yeah, and you're dying. The cankerworm's eating you alive. Verse 10 says this. See, the worship's gone. The field is wasted. The land mourneth. The corn is wasted. The new wine is dried up. The oil languisheth. You understand everything in that verse right there points to the Holy Ghost of God? Everything in that verse points to the Holy Ghost. Do you understand? We got so very little of the Holy Ghost today, it's pathetic. It's about done. It's about dried up. It's about dead. It's about we've grieved God to the point to where the Holy Ghost barely can't even find time or in our schedule, in our life, in our little programs, in our little doings, can the Holy Ghost even find a place to operate anymore? Everything in there. The field is wasted. The land. Well, what is that? The new wine. The oil. Every bit of that's the Holy Ghost. He said in verse 11, be ye ashamed, O ye husbandmen, howl, ye vine dressers, for the wheat and for the barley, because the harvest of the field is perished. This is where we need to be. I wonder if we stop where we are and look back on our desires toward God. Do we see it fruitful and flourishing? Or do we see the desires of God failing? I mean, stop and think, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not being ugly. I do believe that you would hug me and kiss my neck if you could just get a hold of this. I believe you'd kiss me with a holy kiss. If you got a hold of this and it changed your life. I believe that, Miss Stephanie. Just stop and look at your life. I do mine, Michael. I'm not preaching down to nobody. I do this to me. I look at me. I say, where am I at with God? My God, man. There's times where I look at my life and I see that I was closer to God 10 years ago, Eric, than where I'm standing today sometimes. Shame on me. I mean, man, the Bible said we were to weep, we were to howl, we were to mourn if there was a time where you was more on fire for God, where your desires were stronger, where you was closer to Him than you are today. We're to desire Him more. We're to be pursuing Him more. We're to be seeking after Him harder. We're to be closer to Him. We're to be more like Him. I mean, man, we're to be more about Him today than we've ever been in our life. Strengthen those things that remain. Look back over my Christian life and I'm ashamed to tell you the times where I stood and could look back and see more vibrancy in my life. You know what I've seen? I've seen one person get right with God. And the fire was rekindled in their heart.
and it caught on others. When I was a little boy, I went to Louisville Elementary School. We had their music classes back in the day. You had to go into the auditorium as a classroom and sing music and learn music and stuff like that. And I thought that was a great thing. And we sung that one song, "It Only Takes a Spark to Get a Fire Going." That's all I can remember, because I used to make fun of it and talk junk about it. "It only takes a spark to get a fire going." And man, I was so mean. I had to, you know, rewrite the lyrics. But you know what? That's so true. You get in a congregation like this, and it doesn't matter if there's 2,000 in this congregation, if one of y'all would just get right with God, you'd be amazed how that would encourage somebody else. If one person would have personal revival, Miss Stephanie, I've seen revival try to break out, and I've seen people miss it by miles. I'll never forget sitting up in a church up here in Louisville. Jimmy Clark was up there preaching a revival meeting, and a woman stood up right over here, and she began to confess before that church. My heart immediately was warmed with her confession and her honesty coming clean with God. And man, she just jerked the covers off and started telling. And she wasn't saying, "If I'm offended," no, friend. She started telling how she offended people. And I mean, man, she started laying that thing out. And I went, "Oh, dear God, God wants to do something here." And I thought, man, if they'll just get a hold of this right here and let people start confessing and repenting and getting right with God, they can see a real revival break out in Louisville, North Carolina. The preacher was, I think, was embarrassed by this woman coming clean. And they just bumped and went over it and got them a little quartet up there to start singing some songs. And I thought, dear God, we just missed revival. If we just let that woman come clean, maybe somebody else, let the Spirit of God give him time, give that Holy Ghost time to work. It wasn't convenient, see? Going to embarrass the flesh, going to embarrass the church. Good. Embarrass this stinking flesh. That's what's going to have to happen anyway. We're going to have to put it down. We've got to put it in the grave somewhere. We're going to have to uncover it. We're going to have to reveal it for what it really is and let God do a work in our heart and life. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm just saying, if one person would take off with God, maybe, just maybe, if somebody would get a prayer life going, if somebody would get a closer walk with Him, if somebody would just get the thorns out of the heart, I promise you, you can't keep that stuff under wrap. You can't keep it under cover. People begin to see the good works of your Father in you, man. I'm telling you, they want to start glorifying God, and it starts catching on to another person. Another person gets the thorns out, and before you know it, man, your church is starting to have a revival meeting. God is showing up, huh? Not just good services. Preacher ain't hitting home runs. Good outlines, good services. God's just showing. Preacher might not even get to preach. Wouldn't that be something? Preacher might not even get to preach. Jesus might show up and preach to each and every heart personally. Exactly what we need. I've been in the services before, Eric, where I've seen God come through. I've seen the Lord show up. I know this is going to blow some of you's mind. And I've said it 100 times. Just forgive me, some of you probably ain't heard it. I'll never forget the time we was down there in Lodi and God showed up. And then people started praying. I seen mamas and daddies falling out on the aisles just praying, begging God to save their children and do stuff in that town. I seen Zach as I sat in the back of the church and I watched God move across that congregation. I watched their children come in off the streets. I'm talking about, man, one of them be 3-4 miles down the road down there in Stark and come in and say, "Man, I was down there in God, just laid it on my heart to come up here and I got to get some things right with God." You say, "What are you talking about? I'm talking about the difference between a good church service and God showing up for a change." God showing up. I'll be glad when that stupid preacher shuts up. Verse 12 says this: "Ain't nothing worse than an irritating preacher. The vine is dried up, the fig tree languishes, the pomegranate tree, the palm tree also, and the apple tree, even all the trees of the field are withered because joy is withered away from the sons of men." How about your joy? Do I even have to preach it? Where's your joy at? I can look across this congregation and bless God Almighty and get about sick enough to puke. There ain't enough joy in here to fill up a stinking thimble on a painting. They ain't enough joy in this congregation. I'm talking about this, Lord. I ain't talking about that dead church down the road don't know nothing about God.
I'm talking about Living Waters Baptist Church. Ain't enough joy in this whole congregation, bless God, to fill half a thimble full. Walk up in here miserable as hell, sleepy, tired, too tired for God, can't hardly stay awake on the things of God. Got some fat food in me now, I want to lay down and take a nap. Where's the joy at? Where's the joy? Hey, wake the flip up. Where's the joy at? Where's the joy at? Where's the joy at? You ain't got no joy. You ain't got no God. Your family's going to hell. You don't know God. You don't care about God. And you ain't got no joy. And you couldn't care less. How about that? Let's wake up. Listen, you slept more than I did last night, I promise you that. Come up in church, the preacher studies all week. I work too, bless God. I work just like the rest of you. Get up and run, shout, say amen, squirm, do something, pass some gas, do something, open your eyes. Don't sleep on God. Don't sleep on God. Need Apostle Paul to come in here and preach for about a month. Let him preach for about 4 or 5 hours. You see how sleep. Let's let old Samuel Allen go back to 1980 and let him come up in here and preach for about 2 or 3 hours and let us dare nod on him. I study all night long, study all day, work every day of the week. And dear God, go to church and people nod and look at you like they hate you, couldn't care less. Sat around and playing with their fingernails and their keys, digging in their ears, scratching their hinder parts. For God's sakes, wake up. You're dying. You're dying. You're dying. And you're going to hell and you don't even care. Stupid American religion crap has got us so godless and careless. But you got the nicest car you've ever had. The finest house. Don't really need God. I wish every stinking one of us would go flat broke and end up on our back somewhere. Maybe, just maybe, we could find out there's a God in heaven. Maybe if we lost every stinking thing we had, huh? We had to stand on a street corner and beg somebody instead of making fun of people, instead of passing them up. Maybe we need to stand on a street corner somewhere and beg and have people make fun of us and holler ugly things and talk down to us. Maybe we need to stand there and maybe, just maybe, with a prayer of God, that we can find out there's a real God that really cares and loves us. Prosperity ain't never got me no closer to God. The nicer I get all this fixed up, the worse my spiritual life gets. My God, we got so many clothes now, we can't hardly stuff them all in our closets. You remember when your grandma had a little box for a closet? We lived in Jimmy Craver's over there. Their closets was that deep, that wide. And they had shelves. They could get everything they had in that little bitty space. Wasn't no closets. We've got everything in the world, Steve. We don't need God. Deceitfulness. Trying to be mean, church. I do get sick and tired of watching you nod on me, though. I don't nod on you. You know what? Some of y'all want to come to me, and I love it. Eric, please don't you ever change. Michael, don't you ever change. I love it when you come talk to me after church. You know what? I'm determined. If I can sit up here and preach to you for an hour, I can listen to what you've got to say, too. I don't care who you are. We had a crazy nut come up in here, Prophet Eli. That stupid sucker, he come up in here telling us all kind of crazy stuff, but he's sitting there and listening to me preach and listen the whole time. You know what? I gave him the time to say whatever he wanted to say when we were done. I didn't care. Man, I listened to this old crazy boy, see what he's got to say. He told us about how East Carolina was going to flood. He missed it by a couple hours. It was Lincolnton, North Carolina, not it.
10 years.
Huh?
10 years. 10 years.
Yeah, and years. That's right. Thorns is killing our joy, church. Just want to know where your joy is. I want you to understand, I'm not your enemy. What does John 10 say? Listen to me. That's why I'm so angry. That's why I'm so adamant about the stuff that I say. The thief came not but for to steal, kill, and to destroy. He's here to destroy you. He's here to kill you. Steal, kill, and destroy. What is he? He wants to steal my joy. He wants to take the very life that I have in Christ and destroy it. He wants to take my home and destroy it. He wants to take my body and kill it. He wants to destroy all that.
God said, listen, I want you to get the thorns out and remain strengthen the things that remain. Don't let the devil have it all.
Don't let him kill you. Don't let him destroy you. How do we do this? How does the devil do it? With the cares of the world? With the deceitfulness of riches and lust of other things? Goodness gracious. Would y'all give me 5 more minutes, please, and I'll be done. It's hot, I know. Look at Joel chapter 2, please. We'll read this and I'll hurry. Joel 2, 12 through 14 says this. Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart. Boy, that'd be a good thing. And with fasting and with weeping and with mourning. Rend your heart, not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth him of evil, who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. Church, I want you to know that some are dead and some are dying. But we serve a God that if we will turn to him, he'll revive us.
Some's dying. But there's a God in heaven that says, if you will repent and turn to me. Listen to what he said.
I'll repent.
I'll repent if you'll repent. And I'll revive you. Isn't that amazing? I'll give you some life.
The rest of that verse a while ago I quoted. The thief came not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, but I came that you might have what? Life. And have it more abundantly. All right? God wants us to live, church. He don't want us to die. He wants us to live and he wants us to be full. He wants us, Miss Debbie, to be fruitful. He wants us to be fervent. He wants us to be fair. He wants us to be faithful. He wants us to be fascinated. I mean, man, I looked up the F's in the dictionary last night. I'm not kidding you. I got my Bible dictionary down. I got to looking at the F's and just the F's. And I got to thinking about what all the things he wanted out of the A's. Hallelujah. And I got to thinking about all the things that God wanted out of the B's and the C's and the D's. I mean, man, God wants me just to be fascinated with him. God wants me to be full of him. God wants me to be fruitful. God wants me to be faithful. God wants me to have fun. God, I mean, all those things. God wants me to be fervent. God wants all those things. He wants this thing to last forever. I'm telling you, it just goes on and on and on. God came that we might have life. That we might have it more abundantly. He wants us to be free. I like what David said. He wants us to be fixed. My heart is fixed, oh God. Now, I'm going to read this last few verses of Isaiah chapter 40, and we'll go home, and I want some of you to take a real good 3-day nap, because it looks like you ain't slept in about a month or two. Maybe if you turn them phones off, you can get you a little rest and go pay attention to the Lord, and God can do something for your wicked soul. Isaiah 40 says this, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But watch this. But they that wait upon the Lord,
They that get rid of the thorns, they that inconvenience themselves, they that have time to wait, those that worship, those that ain't occupied with the cares of this life, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be sleepy, not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. That was David. They shall walk and not faint. How about that? Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. God wants you to fly. He just wants you to fly. God wants you to soar with the eagles. And I know that sounds Joel Osteen, but I'm telling you, man, God wants the best out of it. Huh? I'm saying, I can preach Joel Osteen without teeth. God wants you to have the best. Zach said he didn't do this thing to make us happy. Ladies and gentlemen, if you look back through the history, the pages of history in our religion, it wasn't about people being happy. There's a lot of people suffering so that you could sit here and nod today.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
What you going to do if they come down out of your house and take your little son and your little daughter and they rape them in front of you for the cause of Christ? What you going to do if they gouge their eyes out if they don't deny Jesus? What you going to do if they pull their tongue out of their head and cut it off if they won't deny Jesus? You going to go to church and fall asleep? You going to go to church and shake it off? You going to go to church and say, I just let the thorns grow? I couldn't care less. Let me tell you something. These people went through 10,000 times more than what I just mentioned right there so you could sit here today and hear this gospel. You know what's greater than that, Zach? Jesus Christ made this possible. He died on an old rugged cross so that we could blow him off. Church, I'm so ashamed of my deadness and my coldness. My lethargic attitude towards the things of God. I pray God would shake us out of our coldness, out of our deadness. Michael, it's not cheap to go to New York. Not cheap. It's not easy. It's not convenient. But I believe it's godly. I believe it's a godly thing to do. Sometimes, y'all, listen to me. I'm just talking to you from my heart. Sometimes it's easier to feel the guilt of not doing what's right than it is to do what's right. The regret, the guilt. Man, I wish I woulda, shoulda, and coulda. You coulda. It wouldn't have been convenient. Wouldn't have been easy. God never said all that. He never told that man that was getting burned at the stake how easy it was going to be. But I'll tell you one thing. That man getting burned at the stake put something down in my soul. It helped me. All these years later, that helps me. Helps me. What a coward I've been. Want to be faithful. Want to be found faithful. Help us, God. Help us. Father, we thank you for this day. I thank you for this congregation, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for all that you do in this place. I pray, God, that you'd help us to search our hearts, search our attitudes. God, search the thorns that's growing. God, help us to strengthen the things that remain. Some things, God, it may be too late. But God, there's some things that's remaining. Some things, Lord, the canker worms open. But God, I'm glad they that wait upon the Lord shall mount up with wings as eagles. God, we can run. We can not grow weary. Lord, we'll not faint. Dear God, I pray that you'd help us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Stay out.